from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 238. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, I'm doing just fine. Episode 238, getting that holiday feeling, get that holiday mood. Brandon, I know I am, man. If your Christmas tree or if your Hanukkah candles or whatever, you know what I'm saying, Kwanzaa, you know what I'm saying, stuff, celebratory stuff is not up right now, then you probably aren't celebrating a holiday this year. So, like, no, man, I'm definitely in a great holiday mood, Brandon. And I know from week to week, from last week, we even had even more, you know what I'm saying, news and stuff and big games that kind of went down, man. But, like, you know what I'm saying, rather than me have me ramble on and on, man, please give us the official rundown for tonight.
Absolutely. We've got our usual NFL talk this evening. We will not have our college football tomorrow. We're going to save college football for tomorrow. Me, Jonathan, and Tanner will have our college football show tomorrow with our picks for the bowl games for week one. But tonight we've got NFL talk. We've got college hoops, a little bit of NBA talk going on. Our Indiana Pacers are playing against the defending champions tonight downtown at Bankers Life, the Golden State Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Steph Curry and company, they're in town. And we've got, I guess we can have a couple news and notes with college football we'll hit. We'll talk the Bulls tomorrow. A couple notes in college football, but then we'll take your calls and more. Looking at about an hour and 15-minute show this evening, so not too bad. John, let me give you the good news to start the show.
Okay.
The Colts didn't lose.
Stop it. That's
right?
Not the good news. We all knew the Colts. Dude, we knew last week, man, the Colts wasn't playing this week, man. So that is good news from an NFL standpoint, if you're a Colts fan, as I know a lot of folks that kind of listen to Crossroads Sports are. But, like, going into this weekend, looking at their next opponent, Jim Irsay's playing these dudes to be optimistic, Brandon, at this point. You know, they're looking at, even if they went on some type of miracle run, I get it, Tennessee is losing games, and they look out shell themselves. And Jacksonville's doing something, they're doing crazy things like winning right now, too. But so, like, the division, it's kind of in a flux. But I don't think the Colts have enough. And if you do have enough to win a division, like, you don't have enough to win a playoff series or a group to the Super Bowl, man. So, but there's a lot of optimism with this team going into this Saturday's game against the Vikings. I don't know, Brandon. I think the defense will obviously play well. They'll get, you know what I'm saying, they'll get a crack at Kirk Cousins as much as, you know what I'm saying, as any other team has. But ultimately, I almost kind of think the Minnesota Vikings, hell, you've had them in your top five the last 2 weeks. At the last four. And again, they kind of fluctuated, but it's one thing they haven't fluctuated. Their offense hasn't fluctuated. So I don't know, man. I don't really think the Colts have enough. You know, so you're talking about a playoff team who's ascending and trying to, you know, saying keep up with everybody else, and you're talking about a team that's still trying to figure out who it is and who's going to be his coach and whatnot. So I would say the Minnesota Vikings, you know what I'm saying, are going to come out victorious this weekend. So
okay. That game will be on Saturday. Me and John will be live tweeting the game. Some notes that we see, because we'll be downtown for the Indy Classic, Ball State and Illinois State, and then Purdue and Davidson down at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. So the Colts game's at 1, and then the first game is right after 1 o'clock starts, about 2 o'clock or so. So we'll be in attendance, John. I'm sure we'll be talking during that Colts game, seeing Twitter, and I'll have the game fired up on the laptop. So
right.
We'll see what happens. They go up there to Minnesota. And the fact that they want to play to win, you know, that's going to piss off your fan base a hell of a lot more. You might as well just suck it the rest of the way and just get that draft pick.
Man, right. Well, I'm not, we're from fan base, but yeah, the fans don't want, you know what I'm saying, if you can potentially get a top quarterback in this league, in this upcoming draft, whoever that might be, when you draft, that's what everybody kind of knows what the Colts need. That's not necessarily. There's some, now, here's Brandon. I know I give a little spoiler. There's some sexy left tackles in the first round that people are going to, you know what I'm saying, once every kind of shakes out, they're going to associate the Colts name with them, you know what I'm saying, because Brandon, I don't, let's go a little deeper. Matt Ryan ain't going away. Nope. Matt Ryan would be doing the Colts a favor if he retired. If he retired today, tomorrow, next year, he'd be doing the Colts a favor. And, like, you know what I'm saying, if it's still a business and there's, like, a sum of XYZ, you know, what, like, between $17 million and $20 million that he can get accrued, you know what I'm saying, next year if he's on a Colts roster. So, I don't know, man. It's not a quick fix, snap your fingers, even if you do get a draft pick that's high or whatever. But, you know what I'm saying, that's my point. It's not a quick fix because, like, this is still going to be somewhat of a murky mess going into next year.
Yep. Looking at last week's games, John, Thursday night, hey, Baker, you want to come in and play tomorrow? Baker Mayfield signs a contract. That would just lead him to a game-winning drive, 90-some yards in a minute and 40. No timeouts. Rams win 17-16 over the Raiders with Baker Mayfield.
I got to ask you, Brandon, because I know you like to kind of dissect quarterback play. And I, to my knowledge, man, I've never seen anybody go from – how many organizations was Baker Mayfield playing this year? Two organizations, get off the street and then roll out and kind of – you know what I'm saying? Again, it wasn't necessarily like John Elway, you know what I'm saying? But, like, man, he won a football game for the Los Angeles Rams, and they don't have no type of quarterback controversy or anything like that. But – like, you kind of got to like the system and, like, what the Rams can do with a quarterback. You see what I'm saying? So, do they have in the future a number for Baker Mayfield? I say maybe. Brent, could you imagine having Baker Mayfield and Stafford?
I'm not even sure Stafford will be back.
Right. So, you know, everybody knows they don't have any draft picks. Baker Mayfield wants to play for the Rams because he feels it's a redemption tour. I like the coach. I think the coach is about to be the new family tree. Like, we already see what's going on. They've already started pulling some of his people from. No, they've already, like, the coach from Miami. He was part of the family tree of the Rams, man. So I tweeted in jest, man, because everybody knows that Zach Wilson ain't gonna never be probably start another game for the Jets ever again. I tell you what, Brandon, I know you're super critical on him, and rightfully so, man, because a lot of stuff has kind of popped up, you know what I'm saying, red flags, that wasn't red flags first, right? But, man, Brandon, if you a question mark quarterback, their system took Jared Goff to a Super Bowl. We're going to have to deep dive into that system. And look now, and now Baker Mayfield's out there, man. He messed around having a career resurgence out there. Possible.
Yeah, he could. He could end up being a starter out there, especially with, you don't know, Matt Stafford's health. Will he be okay and cleared to play next year? Does he want to play next year? Because he got destroyed this year with the concussions over and over. He might not be able to play because of the concussions. So you got Baker on a cheap contract, which means you can go and put in for other pieces that you need to spend money on.
Right. They have no draft picks. Right.
Yeah, Super Bowl champs. 4-9 this year, so it's been rough. But yeah, the system's good. I mean, Goff's good in Detroit right now. We'll talk about that here shortly. But I mean, he's excelling this year in Detroit. You know, if he would have stayed there, would he have been all right? I think so. I think when they won the Super Bowl, I don't know.
Right. That's what we're talking about. I think Todd McVay feels like if he has somebody with talent, he can get to the Super Bowl.
Right.
I'm not saying Baker Mayfield's going to the Super Bowl. But, hell, there's no way anybody could have told you Jared Goff was going to the Super Bowl, and then 2 years later they trade him to – that he went to the Super Bowl, and then 2 years later they trade him to Detroit because McVay doesn't trust him no more.
That's right. Look at the Raiders on the other end, John. Oh, my. Just
– hot mess.
Couldn't have happened to a better guy.
Hot mess central. Ain't it? It's hot mess central. From the coach, who probably needs to be an offensive coordinator at this point, it's kind of the writing's on the wall for that. Like, dude, you can't – like, it didn't work out in Denver. You came back with your tail tucked between your legs. Like, dude, it's not a shame to go back home to Bill Belichick. Maybe it is, man. Who knows what that looks like. working with Bill Belichick every day, waiting for him to retire. But it hasn't worked out with him. I'm glad it didn't. I'm glad he didn't tell the coach he didn't want to come here. But it's a hot mess out there in L.A., man. I'm sorry, with L.A. with Las Vegas.
Yeah, it definitely is. Jets and Bills. Bills win 20-12. Jets hung in there more than I thought they would in this game with Mike White. And it looks like Zach Wilson is getting elevated to now at least being dressed for the game for this next week with an injured Mike White out there. But Bills win 20-12. Mm-hmm. They're winning, but it's not like a blowout or like a guaranteed, like, hey, this team, they're coming out here to whoop ass and win, which, I mean, I guess it's the NFL, right. You're professionals, that's not what happens, but, I mean, there's a couple teams we're going to talk about, they came out there and did that this weekend, and as long as that Bills defense can stay healthy, get healthy for the playoffs, and Josh Allen can stay upright and not take chances, they'll be all
right. Right, they just trying to get, right, they right, because They're still praying for a running game to show up, right? We're going into week. What is this, right? They you know what I'm saying? I think their lead rusher is Josh Allen. If I'm not mistaken, man. So, I think they just want to, like, Brent, I think they just want to get to the playoffs. Like, they know there's a lot of pressure on winning these games and seeding. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think that's what they're kind of sweating it out about. Like, they got to go play and, you know, Kansas City, that matters. You know what I'm saying? So I think some of that, but they really want to go to the playoffs because I think it still looks, I mean, in moments, Brandon, as far as the AFC is concerned, when I think about what they can do, even with the lack of a rushing attack, it still kind of look like the best team. More bounce, like, man, Patrick Mahomes has to do a lot. He has to do a lot. The Miami Dolphins, I know a lot of folks are listening to us, Brandon, down there in Miami because, you know, our sponsors down there, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, man. But listen, Brandon, listen. When Miami beat all those teams, I'm not trying to, you know, say anybody's thunder, man. Go back and see who they beat. Who they beat. Now, it's the NFL. You just said it, Brandon. I'm not taking that out of your mouth. Who did they beat? The Bears? Who did they beat? Did they beat the Steelers? And that's most. And I ain't trying to be disrespectful, man. They got a little bit more firepower than the Steelers.
Patriots, Ravens, Bills, Steelers, Lions, Bears, Browns, Texans.
Okay, so some of those teams, I get it, man. But like they're still a little shaky.
Here's a telling note for you, John. 5-1 at home, 3-4 on the road.
Right, so they want to definitely get home field advantage, at least, you know what I mean? So I think it's in their wheelhouse, you know what I mean?
I don't think they win a game in December. They lost the first two, San Fran and Chargers.
Right.
They play at Buffalo Saturday night, and where it's going to be 6 inches of snow and 20 degrees.
Hold on, I thought we were talking about Buffalo. Who's playing at Buffalo?
Miami.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like there was some scrub teams, man.
Yeah,
and like
yeah.
You know they were. That's all I'm saying. They were some scrub teams, man. So like, but you, hey, listen. This is podcast radio. I have a Colts shirt on right now. The Colts would beg to scrub teams right now. You know what I'm saying? To get a victory out of four scrub teams, man. But like, no, man, I can't necessarily level of Ohio, Miami to beat. Oh yeah, they can go in and beat Joe Burrow in Cleveland. I'm sorry, in Cincinnati. Or again, I think when it all comes down to it, Brandon, like, of course, man, Kansas City is still scary. Of course, that I would be a liar if I didn't tell you I still think Joe Burrow and them somehow way get to the Super Bowl. But the Bills feel like that last year was probably their year, Brandon. They got it. So, like, they ain't, like, okay, they, you know, they feel like they probably can get over the hurdle of beating Kansas City, but they ain't never met nothing like Joe Burrow. And I'm just saying, like, you know, what does that mean if you have to go there to play them? You see what I'm saying? So it's going to be interesting, man. It's a mind game. They're going to play their schedule. And hope for the best and hope that they end up with a 1 or 2 seed.
Can I ask you about the other fraud team?
Damn.
The Eagles.
Who are you
the
calling
Eagles,
fraud?
The Giants.
Stop it. What? What? Brandon, you about to
they've
get
lost,
in trouble,
they've
man.
Lost four out of six, and one of those out of the six is a tie.
Oh, you talking about the Giants. You talking about the Giants.
Yeah, yeah.
The
yeah, yeah,
are,
Giants.
Oh, the Eagles ain't fraud. I thought you
no,
said
no,
Eagles
Giants.
Fraud.
Giants. Let me give you their wins. Tennessee.
Give me their wins, man.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
And they haven't been playing well. Carolina.
No.
Back when Baker was quarterback.
Hot trash.
The Bears. The Packers. A Baltimore team. The Jaguars and Texans. They've lost three
they've been,
of their last four.
They've been right. That's a little favorable schedule right there, ain't it, man?
Yeah. The finish their schedule is at Washington, Commanders.
Okay.
Sunday Night Football. Then they've got at Minnesota, home against the Colts, at Philadelphia. And they just got drummed by 26 to Philly at home.
Right. Well, you're saying they're playing the Colts. Come on, man.
Colts are winning that one. That New Year's Day, Colts are winning.
Give me a one in the Facebook Live or a high five if you think Jeff Saturday is the answer for this Colts team. Has the offensive line played better? Sure it has. The offensive line don't score points, Jeff. Quarterbacks and running backs do, man. They coach, man. Brandon, I don't want to go on a coach tangent because they don't matter. They're not in the playoff information. They're going to be cannon fodder to one of these teams. Somebody's trying to get, you know what I'm saying, navigate their way to the playoffs. I don't know, man. Brandon, my top three teams still in the AFC are Kansas City, in no apparent order, ladies and gentlemen, Kansas City, Cincinnati,
Buffalo,
correct.
I'm glad you brought up Cincinnati. They've won seven of the last eight games. They are on a trajectory, just like last year's performance, getting hot towards the second half of the season into the playoffs. They've won seven of their last eight. They haven't lost since. They lost on Halloween to the Browns, but before that it was October 9th against the Ravens, a 2-point loss. So they've won seven of eight, and they play at Tampa, who looks dead themselves.
Did you see that, ladies and gentlemen? I'm not about the man crush. Maybe that's the passing of the torch match. Remember Brandon? Remember when The Rock wrestled? Remember when The Rock wrestled Hulk Hogan? It was a passing of the torch match. That's what's going to happen in this Tom Brady versus Joe Burrow. It's going to be the passing of the torch. I don't know what, listen, I'm a longtime Colts supporter. Everybody knows this before I took over, before Brandon asked me to come on to Crossroads Sports and we became official and all this, you know what I mean, right? I don't root for no teams no more, right? But Tom Brady, I was just hoping that he wouldn't get hurt. It's horrible. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a terrible team, and they're going to actually host a freaking playoff game, and I guess some people might be able to deal with the jitters of the legend of Tom Brady, and this is going to be his last game in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniform and all that, and what's going to look like that for the offseason. But we'll talk about that, you know, as the weeks go by, man, but they're like a hot mess. Tampa Bay looks like a hot mess, and honestly, Brandon, it couldn't happen to a better quarterback. Tom Brady. That's the Colts. That's the old Colts fan of me saying that, though, Brandon. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I let it slip out, man. But like, no, man.
Give some love to the Bengals now. They want give some love to the Bengals.
It's gonna be a passing of the torch, man. He's gonna pass him the coolest. You know what I'm saying? Like this is the mantle, man. I'm not saying the Bengals. I mean, I know Mike Kelly, who's probably listening right now.
He's
probably losing his mind. He's saying, hey, man, Berthold said. I'm saying the Bengals got. Like, again, man, I'm saying the Buffalo Bills is fragile as Humpty Dumpty when he fell off the wall, right? They are just as talented as anybody. They can put up 50. If you want them to put up 45 against Kansas City, they'll do that. They got enough offense to do so, even though they ain't got a shit-ass running back. You know what I mean? They missed out on the McCaffrey. Naheem Hines is there. And they I don't know. Who promised Naheem Hines is going to be – you know what I'm saying, Switchblade. Like, he's supposed to be, you know what I mean, a superstar this year. It didn't happen. I mean, they still wait for it to happen in Buffalo, too. Anyway, Brandon, this is what I'm saying. There's three teams that can win. Don't be surprised if the Bengals is win the AFC. It'll be a lot of disappointed people in Kansas City. Definitely another heart broken in Buffalo, but don't be surprised if the Bengals win the AFC. Cincinnati, it's not this. Brandon, you said it 3 weeks ago. Even when we wasn't dissecting who they were playing, he's like, man, Miami, he said maybe next year. They got receivers. You know what I'm saying? You like the running. You like the defense. Tua stays 100% 100. But, like, dude, can you trust that team playing in the cold? No, not yet.
No.
Not yet. Not, you know what I mean? So can you see them playing air-free football trepidation? You know what I'm saying? No, not yet. So, Brandon, those are my top. Brandon, let's go to the NFC. You don't – because I thought you had said Philadelphia was a fraud. You're not saying Philly was a fraud, though, right?
No. No, Philly's not a fraud.
So let's think about that, Brandon, real quick. Should have, man, I hope Jim Irsay's listening. And if he's not, make sure when you retweet it, you tag him into the tweet. But Jim, you maybe shouldn't have let Eberflus leave. You see what I'm saying? Maybe
Sirianni.
Well, I was going around the board. I'm not going by Eberflus's record. Eberflus shows that like he can run an organization, even though they ain't give him no daggone, you know what I'm saying, tools to run. All he got is a quarterback. Everything else is like, man, I would get rid of it. And I think they are. Hey, they started with Roquan Smith, if anybody remembers. But Philadelphia, maybe we shouldn't have let him, you know what I'm saying, specifically. Sirianni, we should have kept him in here. Is it unprecedented to like overpay an assistant coach in your knowledge, Brandon? Or not?
No.
Like, anything like you have like a coaching? I mean, I don't know.
If you want him to stay, you think they're the heir apparent?
Man, because like, look, we got hot mess. I'm not gonna call Jeff Saturday a hot mess, man. Jeff Saturday.
You just did. Go ahead.
He got a phone. Brandon, he got a phone call from a crazy billionaire. Who said, hey, man, do you want to be the coach? I can't do the voice. You do the voice better than me, Jim. Hey, man.
Jeff, you want to come coach the Indianapolis Colts? We can really use you out here.
Peyton, dude, he looks just like Peyton. Can you shape
We're
it up?
We're the fourth winningest franchise in the league since 2000.
Yeah.
All right, that means in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
Man, we're going to get in trouble.
And that's rare air.
Brandon, we're going to get in trouble, man, for making fun of it. You know what I'm saying?
Jimmy, come on, man. We'll strung out with the guitar.
Oh, my God. We're not going to never get media credentials. The Colts will hate us forever. Anyway, that's going to be – I mean, it's going to be – go to the NFC. Change the subject. I'm sorry, Jim. It was Brandon. It wasn't me.
You turncoat.
I'm backpedaling now. Anyway, Let's go to the NFC. Dude, like, dude, hey, man, you talk about frauds. I'm not saying the Dallas Cowboys are frauds, man. But they walking on slippery, wet pavements. I'm supposed to love it because T.Y. Hilton went there? I'm supposed to love it.
That's your boy, T.Y. T.Y., I'm doing a symbol right now. T.Y. Hill
went there for $1.5 million for four games. They got that's fair. I guess. How many is he gonna catch three balls in these four games? I'm not doubting why they got him there. They chose him over Odell because Odell's coming off a daggone ACL. I don't know how crazy Odell.
Four catches, 36 yards.
Brandon. Odell Beckham's crazy because there's no way he's not. There's no way your body can heal. There's no man that can heal that. Even if you had hyperbaric body, so like
he came out today and said that he's planning on signing next year. So
yeah,
he wants
yeah,
to be the centerpiece.
Stop making the memes, y'all. Stop making the memes of Odell coming to San Francisco. Odell coming to. He's not coming. He's not. The Giants. It's no reunion. None of that. But. T.Y. Hilton, I get it, man, but, like, Dallas, pull up the numbers on Dallas playing Tampa Bay this weekend. I don't even think it favors Dallas. If it is, it's not high enough.
Let me take a look while you're
I don't think they're talking about Dallas is going to go there, and especially at Dallas, what did Dallas do? They almost pissed out their leg against the Texans.
What do you feel like
I
it should be?
Nobody watched that game. Dallas should beat Tampa Bay. The worst Tampa Bay look.
Dallas doesn't play Tampa Bay.
Who they play this weekend? I'm sorry.
Tampa Bay plays Cincinnati and Joe Burrow.
Oh, that, I'll just tell you that. No, you know what? If the playoffs
Dallas
start
plays
today,
Jacksonville.
If the playoffs start today, they would play
Correct.
Tampa Bay.
Correct.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Not this weekend. If the playoffs start today, they would play Tampa Bay.
Yes.
Are we ready to trust? Are we trusting Mike McCarthy?
No.
Who trusts Mike McCarthy?
I already told you I'm taking the Bucs. If they play
Who
the Cowboys,
I mean,
I'm taking
Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, slippery when wet.
They looked like hot garbage last week. They got lucky.
Hey man, it's a lot of pressure playing for Cowboys, man. You know that, right, Brandon?
Stop it.
Tony Romo played on a lot of pressure, man. It's a lot of pressure playing for Dallas, man. A lot of pressure.
Legend.
Stop it. Anyway,
let me tell you who I believe in.
Go ahead. That's all I want to know.
Obviously, Philly's 12-1, right? They look good. They're looking up there. But
it's just like they play close football. And Michael Parsons asked, man, I hope he's listening. And if he ain't, too bad. Michael Parsons hating talking about they don't blow nobody out or whatever. Whatever he said, sneak spot comment about it, man. Doesn't matter. If you win by 3, if you win by 33. Right. You saying, what are they, 12-1? That's crazy. Give me your rest ones, man. You like them. Who else?
I like San Francisco, even with Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy?
I like San Fran. They've won 6 straight.
You know what? If I'm a general manager, no. If I'm an owner of a team and my general manager, it doesn't matter. Whatever the situation is, how many quarterbacks did they lose to this year in San Francisco?
3.
They're on their third quarterback. So
yep.
I give props. Who else? Who else I give props to? The New York Jets. They got a Golden Boy quarterback. His heart ain't into it because his heart is on, you know what I'm saying, Bang Bros and MILF.com.
Oh, so
he's actually living this life. He actually lives that life. Who can think about football? You got this really going on in your life, right? So he's afraid. They won with Del Falco. Did they not? They won a game or two this season, man. So there's some team. If I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, how can we can't win with Sam Ehlinger? I'm just calling out Sam Ehlinger. How can we can't win with the Carolina Panthers? If they go on like a three game, they might win the division. This is crazy. They just jettisoned ex quarterback after ex. Who was the quarterback? You couldn't tell me without looking at. No, without looking at
Sam Darnold.
Man, look.
I know
everything. I don't know what the heck happened to this coach, or even Denver too. I'm gonna pick on them too. Like you got to have right. How is the San Francisco 49ers on their third quarterback and everybody still talking about they going to the daggone Super Bowl or can? You still like them, Brett Purdy? This shit, it was awesome, wasn't it? It was no drop off.
You ready for my fraud list?
Let's go, man. Oh, yeah, give me your – oh, man, you're going to break some hearts. You're going to break some hearts in Texas, or you're going to break some hearts in Los
first
Angeles?
Team.
Sorry, in Los Angeles. First team frauds. Let's go.
First team on that fraud list, Los Angeles Rams.
You're a fraud. Just stop.
Second team on the fraud list, Arizona Cardinals.
Hey, you're a fraud. Just stop.
Third team on the fraud list. Las Vegas Raiders. Fourth team on the fraud list. I hate to do it. Indianapolis Colts.
Man, you didn't hate to do it. You didn't hate to do it. You wanted to do it. You
talking
about fraud
team on the fraud list.
One more. There's one more? Damn.
Miami Dolphins.
Wow.
Frauds.
Wow.
Fraud.
That's not fraud. They're going to make the playoffs.
You sure?
I'm sure about it. You respect the San Francisco? I mean, excuse me.
Jimmy, I'm going to give you 4 teams. 2 of these 4 have to make it. And there's 1 game separating all of them. 2 of the 4 get in. Miami Dolphins. 8-5. New England Patriots, 7-6. Los Angeles Chargers, 7-6. New York Jets, 7-6. Two of the four get in. I think the Chargers and Patriots get in the end.
Wow.
I think Miami collapses. I do.
Chargers and Patriots.
Chargers look great. Patriots kind of look like frauds, but they're figuring it out.
These win games, man, it doesn't matter if the defense wins games or the quarterback wins or the short drawn pass. Like, people.
Let me tell you their schedules. Let me give you schedules of these four teams. New England Patriots, final four games at the Raiders. Home against the Bengals. Home against the Dolphins at Buffalo. I think there's at least two wins there. Home at Buffalo
okay.
and at the Raiders. That's going to be your two wins.
I don't
you get the
know.
Dolphins.
When you said the Raiders, because you said you expectations, everybody expected the Raiders to be playoff contenders. Everybody expected the Raiders to be, you know, saying somebody, you know, Super Bowl favorite.
Be better.
But I'm telling you right now, my man, he might not get fired, but I don't think Carr is there. Not next year. This is it.
No, he'll be in Indianapolis.
No, man, don't say that. Don't say that.
To the Dolphins schedule. Dolphins schedule. At Buffalo, home against the Packers, at New England, and then they face the Jets. So right there's three teams in the playoff race that they're going to have three of the four. They're against playoff possible teams. Let me bring up the Jets. Lions, Jags, Seattle, Miami. Okay, it's a little bit tougher the less. I don't think they get in. I just think it's a little road's a little heavy for them. The Chargers schedule. And this is what I love, John. This is what I love. Tennessee, Indianapolis, the Rams, and Broncos. Tell me that's not a beautiful schedule for the Chargers to finish out 11-6.
Man, if they don't finish that out 11-6, man, that coach is getting fired for sure. Because it's always speculation heavy that, you know what I'm saying, his employment, at least with the Chargers, you know what I'm saying, will be terminated if they don't make a playoff spot. So that is a pretty good – when you line it up like that and say, this is the teams and those teams, all those teams that you mentioned on the struggle bus, the Chargers are going to make it for darn sure.
Yeah, and that's why I just think – I think Tua going up in the cold New England, I think there's going to be a struggle there. I really do. And Miami goes up to New England. It's always a struggle for them just mm-hmm. as much as when New England goes down to Miami. So that's why I think mm-hmm. I don't think the Dolphins win that game. I don't think they win at Buffalo this Saturday in 6 inches of snow and cold. And I just that's two losses right there. And then you got the Packers. Who knows what you're going to get Aaron Rodgers-wise on Christmas Day. And then you got the Jets, who are going to be fighting for their lives in the final game of the season. So I like New England's route better than Miami, and I really love the Chargers' route over all three of them.
Mm-hmm. Over all three of them. Okay. Okay. Well, I gotta ask you, man, because people know that you do have somewhat of a still fandom for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I won't say somewhat, but a fandom for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I remember giving the prediction. I said, I think they're going to be a 6-7 win team. Do you think I need Pat, my stats are going to like go or kind of go backwards? Where do you think they kind of finish up their season?
I think they go 2-2. I think they go 2-2 to finish. Which would put them at 7-10.
Okay. Kind of where I had them at. Okay.
They've got Carolina this weekend. They've got the Raiders on Christmas Eve at 8:15, and then they're at the Ravens and home against the Browns.
Didn't Pickett get his bell run though? So I don't know what availability is going to be. Didn't Pickett get his bell run?
Yeah, he can shut him down the rest of the year. Shut him down.
Okay. All right.
There's four games. The season, rest of the season, don't mean shit. I think mm-hmm. I think you shut him down.
Well, you said you thought. You said you're good on him. You said bring him back, run that back. They're going to have a decent pick.
Yeah.
Get one of them linemen. Get you one of them linemen.
Yeah. Yeah. Take him out. Keep him out. Let Mitch play the rest of the season. You don't want a guy coming back from concussion and something happened on people trying to earn contracts with random plays and ends up being a worse injury than what it could have been. I think you take it with him and say, hey, Kenny, we don't mean anything the rest of this year. Sit out. Mitch, you'll play the final four games. I think Najee, I think you give him two games. Give him Carolina. Give him Vegas. I think you sit him out, Ravens and Browns. Sit him out the Ravens and Browns. That way you don't get any knee issue. He's been playing injured all season. Kind of had a came back a little bit towards the middle here, but I think you have him sit out the last two division games. Bring him back for two, and that'd be it. T.J. Watt, I do the same. Carolina and the Raiders, shut it down, get your surgery, get it done and over with. Or you can do it now even. I don't care. But the season's a wrap. I think,
right.
You know, we had a shot against the Ravens, but God damn, Mitch throwing three interceptions. Oh. I like the fact he's slinging it. He wasn't slinging it at the beginning of the year. So, but if you look at our record, John, of our losses, you look at our losses, 3-point loss, 12-point loss, 4-point loss. They made a 35-point loss to the Bills. They waxed us. But 6-point loss, 7-point loss, 2-point loss. I mean, we're in the games. There's only two games we haven't been in, and that was the Eagles, and that was the Bills. And you could pretty much figure out right there what those two teams, where they're at in the standings. I mean, Cleveland, people are going to say, oh, Cleveland beat you by 12. They did, but if you remember right, in week three, there was the lateral fumble they ended up scoring a touchdown on to cover the spread, or else that would only been a 5-point game. So, shut them down. Let's prepare for next year. I know Mike Tomlin ain't going to want to hear that, but I think you do what's smart.
Right.
Hey, what about your boy, man? Kyler Murray, torn ACL. That's why you avoid it, John. That's why you keep picking out so you don't have random shit like that happen.
I'm going to tell you like this, man. I don't know where they're going to finish their season at and then how that kind of shakes out for them. Brandon, they're going to have to pick a quarterback at that position, even though they just paid him $200 million. I know that's like an unpopular opinion, but you telling me they're going to bring in another linebacker or a wideout? And, like, he's – like, dude, I get it, man, Brandon. He's diminutive, man. But he's not necessarily he's injury prone. This is what it is. Really, has he not been hurt? And now we got an ACL, man. And this is really concerning because it might take away what makes him special in the first place, right? His explosiveness as a runner. I'm not saying he can't throw. We all know he can throw, but he also has the ability to extend plays, which kind of makes up for him being diminutive. And I'm saying diminutive, like he's my height, and that's like not big enough to play in the NFL. You know what I mean? So, but he made it work, and he won games that. But like he gets hurt far too much than he is helping the team. Man, they gotta address the quarterback situation. They have some guys who are ready to win now. They build a team. If you remember when was the guy he left Texas and went up there, man. And then that was 2 years ago. I know, but. They still built a team that they thought on paper they could, you know, saying with him, the young quarterback, that's the way that they say you build out your championship, which is with a young quarterback that's on a rookie deal, and then he goes into a team, y'all go, you know what I'm saying, y'all go to Super Bowl where you got, you know, saying veterans all over the team, right? But it's not working because Kyler Murray's gonna get hurt. I'm telling you, Brandon, they gotta address the quarterback situation in the offseason.
I think Arizona, John, I think they're on the demise. I think they are on the verge of a collapse as an organization. Not only with the injury, but you have a lot of talent on this squad, both sides of the ball, that's not getting it done. When you're only one, what they've won one game out of eight at home, The coach is going to be gone. Somebody said, "Oh well, we'll just bring in Baker Mayfield." Don't you realize that Baker Mayfield transferred from Texas Tech when Cliff Kingsbury was the coach because he couldn't get along with him? Hello, that's why he left and went to Oklahoma. So that's not going to work. Kingsbury will be gone. He'll be fired. I am nervous for this organization, the fan base, because one hypothetical I don't think people are thinking about. Does Kyler Murray look happy out there? Does he look happy? Was it a good off season? The contract talks, and then they stuck it to him and embarrassed him by putting the thing about the playbook and quit playing Call of Duty, you know? Mm-hmm. And he just, when he was out there, he didn't look happy. When I watched Hard Knocks with the Cardinals, he wasn't happy. He got into it with D-Hop. John, there's a very strong possibility that I know he signed that deal, but he could walk away from it and go straight to baseball.
It's $185 million guaranteed, I do believe.
And get more of a bigger contract in baseball, play less injuries on your body.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you got to at least think about it because it's a hypothetical. It could happen.
Well, we shall see. We shall see. Hey, man, do we got to take an ad or we got a call or anything?
No calls. We can definitely take an ad break real quick. Give me one second here. We'll get that ad. Oh, come on, Rick. Rick wanted to get his in. Here we go. A couple of ad reads. We come back.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born. Specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. They ship worldwide, ship worldwide anywhere. Use the code CROSSROADS at checkout in the shopping cart and get a special discount, I believe 10% off. Don't quote me on that, but you get a special discount off. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you. I know they just moved, got a new address. Check them out online, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com, and get all your information. Shop their stock. You have a question, give them a call. Check them out, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads sent you. Type in the code CROSSROADS.
Crossroads Sports would like to thank Wiseman Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic or commercial, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Call 877-744-6212 to set up your delivery. Thanks, Wiseman.
All right, we are back. All right, John, I want to go to the next. I got a little music for the next section we're going to go to. What's that? That music, folks, is of your number one team in the country of college basketball, the Purdue Boilermakers. John, the Purdue Boilermakers back to number one in the country after being unranked before the season. Boilers, number one team in the country, jumped quickly up through the rankings.
Right. Well, that's because they play an aggressive schedule. They don't necessarily play. I know somebody said, well, they just beat Hofstra. Yeah, but like, you know what I'm saying, Indiana State has played a string of Hofstra. Right, I'm just, in comparison, and shout out to the Sycamores, as they are also having win season. But right now, man, Purdue's undefeated. Zach Eady's in names and like conversations for Player of the Year. You have to like that if you're the Purdue. You know what I'm saying? If you're Purdue fan base, Purdue. You know what I'm saying? Coach Painter again put together a collective unit. That it's not necessarily about the individual. There's no, you know, there's no R.J. Barrett on this team. There's no Zion Williams. There's no necessarily great individual talent that's going to, you know, project into the NBA. I'm not saying there's no NBA guys on this team right now. Not right now. But there's nobody that's next year like going to be jumping off to your screen from this level, from this league to the next level. Not to play for Purdue. They have a lot of great pieces. A lot of great guys from different, you know, all around from Indiana. You know, Miss Indiana All Star, Miss Mr. Basketball. Everybody kind of knows this friend. And Coach Painter got them to play as a collective unit. Kind of, you know, because even with that, Brandon, you like, dude, you still be Mr. Basketball and come with an attitude. Like, hey, man, I'm the man down here. You know what I'm saying? But there's nothing like that. And, dude, they play within themselves. They play hard. They got a little bit of the doubt against Nebraska on a call, right? But, hey, man, you know what I'm saying? You got to tip your hat to, you know what I'm saying, to the basketball guys, man. Purdue's number one again. Their biggest challenge, Brandon, and I know you'll probably expand upon this yourself, man. Their biggest thing going for Purdue is, I know it's terrible, Brandon, what I'm getting ready to say. If Purdue wins the Big Ten championship, some people are going to say, so what? Not me, not you, because we know better. Purdue wins a Big Ten tournament championship, people are going to say, so what? I know it's messed up. People want Purdue to do it in the tournament. Can you navigate through the tournament through the weekends, man? And that's kind of where they're, but them being number one, is a great. I'm not trying to take away from that at all. But it's a great feel good thing. I don't think it's necessarily to be like be commercial again, because like you go crazy because Brandon dropped some information about you, like how many quad ones they have already, like being undefeated. Like again, they haven't met Hofstra might be their weakest opponent. They haven't played anybody a chunk. They go on the road to play. I get it, you know what I'm saying? Nobody said, well, this is the year for Florida State. They went on the road to play Florida State tough. And, you know, they all play Florida State, all plays them tough, you know what I'm saying? So, again, Purdue's number one team in the world right now, man. They got to, you know what I'm saying, looking around the corner, looking at their schedule, man. They got to just make sure they don't, you know, have any flat moments, man, like they had last year against Rutgers, or have any flat moments like they had, you know what I'm saying, against other teams. Like, I'm particularly thinking about Iowa. For some odd reason, channeling that right now, man. But like, nah, man. Purdue's number one right now, Brandon. What are your thoughts about them and being number one, and then potentially sustaining this position going into the March Madness?
I like the fact that the Boilers have going to have the number one team in the country more than a single day after the announcement gets made. Because you got to think, it lasted one day, and then Ron Harper hit that half court shot at Rutgers last year, but. Honestly, John, I think they get to possibly 13-14-0 and still the number one team of the country into January before the tough one comes. I got it circled on the calendar Thursday, January 5th. They're at Ohio State. That game is going to be the one where that trip up could be. Ohio State's ranked 23rd right now, but Davidson, New Orleans, Florida A&M, Purdue deserves to have a little bit of easier teams from what they've played at the beginning of the year, which are Marquette, West Virginia's, Gonzaga's, and Duke's, and not Florida State, but you know what I mean. And at Nebraska, a tough school. I know IU handled them easily at Bloomington, but Nebraska beat an undefeated Creighton team. But I think that Ohio State game, and then they're home against Penn State and Nebraska, and then I'm actually going to I may be at the Rutgers game. I'm not 100% sure. We're actually going to be there this Saturday, John. Me and you're going to be there Saturday night, 6:15. They play on Davidson down there at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. I'm going to be interested to talk to Matt after the game. I want to ask him how, and I'm going to tip my question to everybody right now, what I'm going to ask him. My question is going to be, how hard is it to keep the team focused? You get the national number one ranking on a Monday, then the kids are going into finals week, so everybody's focus is on studies. how hard is it to keep the teams focused and that type of energy level going into a game like tonight? So that's going to be my question that I'm going to ask on Saturday night to Matt to see, because it's got to be tough on finals week always. You have to, you know, it's going to be 7 days from when last time they played. And then they had what, four games in 12 days that they played recently? So we'll see what happens there. Like you said, Big Ten title, that'd be nice. Number one ranking, that's nice. But you got to get results in the NCAA tournament. That's not a Sweet 16. That's not an Elite Eight. Like we said, for this to be a successful season, it has to be at least a Final Four appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and I'm hearing a lot of people, seeing a lot of people talking on Twitter, Matt Painter's gotten this squad this quick. It's one of only six teams ever in the history of NCAA to move up this quick into the number one team. Matt Painter deserves a championship before he's done, whether it be at Purdue or, God forbid, he goes somewhere else. He deserves an NCAA championship at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So,
at some point, this might be their year. Man, think about what the lay of the landscape. I don't want to dive into the lay of the landscape because I want to also kind of chime in on Ball State, because, like I said, we're going to go see these teams this weekend. Man, who's the real team that's the scary team this year, man? Duke is in transition. North Carolina doesn't look like the same North Carolina that was number one team when the season started. And remember what we saw last year when they powered through the tournament? Gonzaga has had their moments where they don't necessarily look so dominant. Man, why not Purdue? Why not Purdue? But again,
yeah.
I mean, we can't rush through the Big Ten season and like the rest of this season just yet, man. But like, no, man. Who else? Look at the land. What, Villanova is struggling. UConn is back, but it's not UConn like it was when Ray Allen was there or whatnot, man. So like, no, man.
Virginia.
Okay, they don't look scary. Arizona, they look good. They don't necessarily look scary.
Arkansas is 9-1. Musselman's got his team going in the SEC.
Arkansas, Alabama, Houston's real athletic.
Their strength of schedule sucked, though. I mean, they're 91st right now in strength of schedule. So, but they look good. But
Brandon also said, like I said, we're going to see Purdue this weekend. They're playing Davidson. Ball State also plays this weekend. And if I get an opportunity, man, I just want to know, to ask, Coach Mike Lewis, what it has been. Maybe not necessarily a transition. He's been in a lot of places. Mike Lewis has had, stations in Butler, assistant at Nebraska. So, basketball is not coming back home, though, being that name now. And then, that might be too much of a question. I'm going to ask him about, more so about the game, but how is it? How you bring what? Again, man, this is first time head coach, though, right? How has it been to what had a mask to put out there? I think Ball State's gonna win this weekend. I really do, and they've been winning. They've been in a lot of games. They've been close in a lot of games. The only real game that got out of their reach was the Indiana State game, right? But they just put Evansville on the map this weekend, because at one point I think they were were they up 30 or something, man? I was getting tripped by your friends, man, because they follow Evansville basketball, and they knew who, they even know Coach Ravlin was the head coach of the Evansville basketball Aces, man. That used to be a daggone, Ball State basketball versus Evansville versus Butler and versus some of the areas with IUPUI, that used to be a big deal. Those used to be big deal games before everybody started pulling away and trying to get pieces of when Butler leveled up. Then Butler leveled up and went to two back to four Final Fours. Well, guess what? We ain't got to play Indiana State no more. We're not playing, Habitat, athletes in action anymore. Butler actually plays, Big East competition. But Ball State, Mike Lewis is back, I'm not going to say he's a legend or anything like that, man, but, this is really, his thumbprint team, man, and he's got some quality kids playing. I don't necessarily think he's got some guys that made the All-MAC, right? He's got them to commit to a team. And they beat some quality mid – they beat and played some quality mid-majors like themselves, unfortunately, they took a loss to Vermont, but you know, they got wins against, I do believe, like Duquesne. They got a loss against San Diego State. But look who he's got him playing, Brandon. Like, he's got him playing a diversified, like, he's getting ready, set up for tournament play. I know, Brandon, I don't think necessarily this Ball State team is ready to jump into the NCAA tournament. We got to navigate, they got to navigate the MAC tournament when it comes up. But, like, man, he got Ball State playing a variety of, you know, saying this team's like them. And I think he's really kind of setting the team up for a potential, like, spoiler for, you know, for the MAC, where, hey, you know what I'm saying, Ball State, you know what I'm saying, is playing spoiler. You know what I'm saying? Maybe not necessarily favorite, but playing spoiler. Watch out for them. Because everybody knows if you win the MAC tournament, you got there's an automatic win, whether you're – you know what I'm saying, 6-12 or 12-6. You see what I'm saying? So I'm just kind of eager to see it. I've watched it. You know what I'm saying? They you know, Ball State has a YouTube. You can kind of, you know what I'm saying, watch these, you know what I'm saying, the progressions of the team and their games through their play or whatever. But, like, actually seeing it, being live in the cover, you know what I'm saying? But I kind of want to ask him, like, afterwards, like, man, hey, like, first time out, man, like, now, like, this is, I mean, it's not – I think this is playing in Indianapolis is a big deal if you're a local school. So I would imagine there's a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, work on this question. You can't be stumbling over your questions with the rest of the media there.
Here's your problem, Brandon. You already told Crossroads America your question. So somebody, unfortunately, man, you know what I'm saying, might steal it.
That's all right. That's why always good media people always have a second backup one. I'll get one.
Good news. Hey, man, you better hope Danny Bridges and your boy, your homie Jay Graves ain't listening, man. They might steal your stuff, man.
They can. Hey, how about shout out to real quick IUPUI beating Spalding by 22. I'm not talking about the basketball company.
Right, the school. They needed a win desperately. They got it. There's another home game they play this weekend. But they do. We'll be everywhere this weekend. If I try to make it to that home game at IUPUI and this weekend's game, dude, I'll be a spent soldier. So, but no, man, IUPUI trying to, you know, Coach Crenshaw, who's been on our show before, man, he's trying to get you know, to IUPUI an identity. You know, saying get them back to their winning ways. Everybody knows last year they barely won. Did they win a game, Brandon? Were they like 1-0 and forever? They made national news, and when they won a game, when they won one game this year. So any progression for them this year is progression. So I think right now they're sitting at at 3 wins right now or something like that. So right now, man, they got a dub, and a dub feels good all the time.
Indiana Hoosiers 8-2, 14th in the poll, just lost to Arizona. Arizona's a really good team. They're lankier, bigger, and you kind of see that's a good measuring tool for Indiana to see kind of where they're at now compared to where they want to be, how they did against Arizona. They've got a big one this weekend up against Kansas, at Kansas.
Yeah, that's a big one, too. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm shocked Brandon didn't call them a fry.
No.
Indiana. I'm surprised he didn't call them a fry, but like – Indiana, I see them being competitive. I don't see them Big Ten championship winning. Sorry, Bloomington. Who? Oh,
the guy that doesn't have a radio show anymore.
Well, they're not talking about. He's not accepting phone calls or whatever. What's the official announcement? I don't know. What's the official announcement? That's crazy, dude.
I mean, I don't know. Hey, I mean, he's got viewers, apparently. I mean, I counted on his show from all his outlets. I think he had 600 people. So, I mean, might want to pick up a job. Might want to go Ubering a little bit more or DoorDashing, whatever that is, right?
Man, Brandon, when we see – hopefully he's there this weekend. If
he ain't going to. He won't show his face there.
What?
I thought I got blocked, John. Did you see my interaction till yesterday?
There's no way you got Brandon, how could you get blocked? And I've never gotten blocked by Dan.
I was saying something, and somebody else said something. He's like, well, I can't say anything because he's blocked me, and I can't add him. Can somebody add him for me? So I said, don't worry about it. I'll do it for you. And, yeah, he knows.
Blogger boy. Yeah. Man, get rid of him, man. I got nothing but love for Dan Dockage.
Oh, you nothing but love. I love that.
Three foolish men hide behind a fake name forever. Just stop. You're a fraud. Just stop.
You're a fraud.
I just hate we're not going to go get the sound bites anymore that I need. Talking about hide behind a fake name. Speaking of hide behind a fake name, well, not a fake name, but maybe a fake diet, who thought he was a vegan. Apparently he's not a vegan. D-Cop, what's going on? I saw you at Ale Emporium. Eat some wings.
What's up, fellas? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, man. Super. Hey, man.
Okay. I didn't hear the recording say I'm unmuted. It usually says I'm muted or something. That didn't happen this time.
Ah.
FYI. Hey, man, you saw what you see? You saw me at Ale Emporium? I was probably having a Bible study or something, man.
Uh-huh.
No, just kidding. Okay. Teasing, man. Hey, there's a lot of directions to go, but I want to talk college. We're definitely going to hit college football, but I want to hit college basketball. And I know that the people here in Indiana love our Hoosiers. I love them, too. But, man, you talking about some good basketball being played over the last few weeks. Did you all take a look at that Houston-Bama game or the Oregon-Bama-Carolina game? You talking about some length and some NBA players on that floor? Man, Kelvin Sampson has those boys in Houston playing well, but I still wouldn't take him over Mike because he still didn't have the character that we need in Hoosier land. So what do you guys think about how the season began? Brandon, I know you're in love with it. You made it clear of your excitement about the number one team in the country, and that's all wonderful. But what I want to know what you all think is on the overall landscape of college basketball right now. And as you had said, Jonathan, Indiana is taking a step to measuring themselves. You're talking about Carolina, Kansas, Arizona. Those guys are playing anybody, anywhere, and I love it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Everybody, you know, even them, they got to, like, if we put them side by side, Purdue's in a different little bit of a conversation. We're talking about Purdue.
Well, no, we're not talking. I'm just saying from an Indiana perspective, from where they've been over the last, say, 5 to 7 years, they weren't playing that type of competition.
Man, they got, listen, man, if the kid ain't hitting, man, they got to find more scoring other than, because they can't shoot.
Right.
About
exactly.
He got them defending, so that looks good. That looks good, and they're playing as a team. That looks good, and they're playing scrappy when they get down. That looks good. It's just that, like, man, you know what? Everybody's still fit. Ain't necessarily, you know what I'm saying? Because this team can't shoot from the outside. They can't.
Right.
It wasn't so like, somebody's going to be like, hey, man, they went 10 for 25 in the
Very deceiving. Yeah, very deceiving,
you know,
man.
So
I'm just saying,
from
I like the perspective.
Top of the Big Ten. Top of the they'll challenge for the Big Ten crown, for sure. You know. I don't know. Some teams got a little bit better guard play. I think they got a little bit more better depth than some teams. You know, and then you're looking at teams those are kind of gonna have down years this year. And IU should be able to feast. I mean, it is what it is. That's not bad words. I'm saying IU's going to feast on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So look like that. I know you said IU and Purdue. I don't want to lament on Purdue, but like you know,
well,
saying,
the reason why I mentioned Purdue is because I know Brandon's been excited about them getting their number one ranking, and of course they're in the state, so this isn't an Indiana sports show. We gotta make sure we have some love to our Indiana schools.
God knows the local media doesn't do it. Indiana Hoosiers can be 2-12, and they'll show more coverage of them than Purdue.
But see, that helps them with recruiting here locally. Ultimately, they're going to have to go get a guy. You heard me?
Yeah.
And because like right now,
they
got a real smart, good team. And I'm not saying they're very capable of going to get it. Jaden Ivey was a guy that, you know what I'm saying, turned out to be, you know, a short-termer. You know what I'm saying?
This is better than last year's team, John. My opinion.
All I'm saying is if this team had another little sophomore short-termer on it, they'd be really picking them to go. I don't know, man. If Jayden Ivey was on the team, you'd be picking them to win that championship.
Right. I think they're better without Ivey than what they were with him. There was too much me ball, and with this team,
let's see what Jayden can do. Right. Let's see what Jayden, the play broke down. Let's see what Jayden can do with it. Right. Right. I don't know.
Well, it's going to be an interesting college season, man. Listen, we can't count any chips in December, because I'm going to tell you that top 10 is going to get shook up probably week after week, because I don't see a great, great team. Houston has a lot of athleticism, and they got a lot of grit. They remind me of that Indiana team that Samson had here when the kid from North Central was playing after
Eric Gordon?
He's in Houston right now. Yeah, Eric Gordon, yeah. And that team reminds me of that Hoosier team. A lot of tough guys, right? You know, probably not, but maybe one or two of guys may be in the league. But the rest of them are just tough, hard-nosed guys that play ball hard. So it's gonna be interesting to see how the rest of the season plays out, man. I look forward to it, man. I've watched probably more college basketball in the first 3 weeks than I probably watched all of last year, just because of the Indiana's back. I like that. Love seeing Alabama play well. But I love seeing a lot of teams that compete this year versus last year. So that's pretty good. So enough of college basketball, man. What are we doing? Talk about our pace. So I know we're going to get our over that 24.5. But I'm going to tell you this.
I'm about to get the over in this game right now by the looks of it.
Yeah, I know. I was checking out before I left.
They're up 74-51 at halftime.
But listen, this is the NBA, and Golden State's going to make a run.
They'll make a run.
Yeah. So listen, I think the Pacers, when I say the Pacers, I'm talking about the team as a whole. I think they're going to hit a wall, man. And I can see a stretch here where we lose a few games in a row, and just kind of, you know, the other night when we lost to New Jersey, they looked bad to me. The other night against Brooklyn Saturday night, and then Miami against Monday, really lackluster, right? And
yeah, you were your brother.
Remember when I was talking to you guys about Carlisle, the control freak? If you watch these games, especially if you're there, when that game gets tight, they're looking to the sidelines, man. Well, you know, they were loosey-goosey the first 15 games of the year. They're starting to tighten up. And when the game gets tight, they're looking to the sideline for the play. I don't like it, man. I don't. They get stagnant. And also, they look like they're doubting themselves. I hope that doesn't carry on, man, because they've had a nice start to the season. I don't want them to do too great, because we still got 3 picks in the first round, and we may be able to parlay that into something. Speaking of brother, he keeps telling me that Turner needs to stay, right? With this great start and the guys liking each other, I still say it's a 60-40 move of him leaving after the season, man, regardless. What do you guys think?
It'd be nice for him to stay. The problem is, I don't think he wants to. And you got to get something out of it.
He's saying all the right things now to the media, but I just, to that point, I don't know that his heart is there. But I do know his father stepped down to the floor. He used to be top of the first section. Now he's on the floor. Could that mean that he's willing to stay? I don't know. His dad's always with the games now. He seems like he's more in tune to it than he had been. So maybe that's a little secret sign or something. I don't know.
Maybe he's turned vegan too.
Yeah. Well, you know, see, I'm not. I don't want to get into that right now. We're talking sports. So okay, go down that road. But no, in all seriousness, man, Turner looks happy. He plays happy, but it's still business. And as I said at the beginning of the season, you can't win a championship with him. You can't win without him. And you still got 3 number one picks, and you can still do a sign and trade in the summer. I say if you want to let it play out, if the right deal doesn't come, you let it play out, man. You still have options. And I think from a character perspective, I think he's the type of guy to say, you know what, I am going to leave, but I'll hang on to a sign and trade, and we can do something.
I would rather do a sign and trade in the offseason. Ride out the season.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
then,
that's what I'm saying.
And then re-sign and do a draft day trade. Because you're gonna, you can trade him on draft day with a sign and trade and throw in one of those first three first-round picks.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. So we've got some young talent, but we need – you know who we need? We need David West in his third year to see in the league. That's the type of guy we need, right? Not a guy David West in his 11th year. We need a David West in his third year. What I mean by a guy that gives – they don't have the physical toughness of every team they played against that a big – you know, either a big four or a big five, it's kind of manhandling them a little bit. Isaiah Washington is great, man, at blocking shots. He's very athletic. If Turner leaves, that leaves another spot. Goga is not your answer. And then you know, what you have at center? You don't have anything. So I say they definitely need an upgrade in a mature NBA player who's ready to prove himself. They need a
You know who Jonathan loves, and he sent me a thing about him a couple of days ago. I'm starting to put the pieces together because Jonathan had an infatuation with this player, and then it went away when he got traded, and then now it's coming back, and he's going to be a free agent this year. John's in love with Kyle Kuzma. He wants Kuz.
You know what? I'll tell you what. He looked pretty damn good here. He looked pretty good here the other night. I'll tell you that. And he's a hell of a lot bigger than he looked on TV.
He said he wants to expand his role. He did say that.
But and he's talking $20 to $25 million a year. That's doable with the cap space we got and the players, right?
You gonna pay him that?
I didn't say I would. I'm just saying that we'll have the option to pay it if we choose to. But do you all realize he's a lot bigger in person? He's closer to 6'10" or so. Have y'all paid attention to that? I don't know if y'all have or not. But these points,
he can also have some wild nights where it's like, hey man, you better pass, bro, because it's not you're not.
No. Listen. I'm not saying bring him in. I'm just saying I was more impressed with him in person than I had been. That's mm-hmm. all. I'm not saying bring the guy. No. I'm just saying he was more impressive than I thought.
Who I would pay? This guy's getting paid $20 million a year. He's a free agent after this year. You talk about a David West. Now, he's not a David West-esque, but he's young, 29 years old. He can play. Get me a power forward, a Jeremy Grant, in here. He's 8 years in the league.
Yeah,
he's 29. You can pay that contract to get him. He's a free agent this year from Portland. I want a Jeremy Grant in here. I've wanted him for a couple of years.
You follow me. You follow. I remember when he was in Detroit, if I remember right, and he took care of business against Turner. He's got a talking about a pogo stick. Man, he's got that first and second bounce still. So yeah,
he's
not
the size of David West, but he can kind of still roll a little bit.
Yeah, but I think you know what I'm saying, man. We just need the team we have is nice. And also, by the way, Duarte may have put himself in a situation where he may be looking in the summer also. And I understand he's under a rookie contract, but I don't know where the room will be unless you take TJ McTryhard a minute. And I don't know if you'll do that.
I think I think they would go Duarte over TJ Tryhard, unfortunately.
No. I'm saying yes. That's what I'm saying. So if he comes back, somebody's going to have to suffer, and it has to be McTryhard.
Right.
It has to be. So –
another guy, Dika, who Jeremy Grant-esque, I wouldn't mind kicking the tires on. He's going to be a free agent too. I'd take Christian Wood.
Yeah, from Houston. And you know, that's another one. You know what? Now you're talking. See, those type of guys. Now, granted, he may not be available because they may lock him up also. But that's the neighborhood of the guys we're talking about. I look forward to it, man. Obviously we'll be there. Taking a look at things, but I'm hoping it works. And I'm going to tell you one last thing about the NBA. If they don't get Trae Young out of Atlanta and stop effing with Nate McMillan, I'm telling you, that dude's a little young. They call him a punk. He's nothing but a little punk. And the way he disrespected Nate McMillan's one of the most respected humans in the NBA, not coaches or players, but humans in the NBA. That dude's a respectful dude, man. And for him to do that to him, nah, man. To me, it's either Nate or him has to go. and probably they'll probably it'll be Nate because it's easier to get rid of the coach than the player.
John?
Hold on, man. They're going to go over. They're going to patch it up. I'm going to think positive. They're going to patch it up. They're going to patch it up.
Man,
Nate McMillan's not going to win that battle.
He's not going to win that. He lost the locker room, man. Did you see the article? I forget who wrote the article, and they talked about how he lost. The players are saying, man, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I mean, the players went against him. And I'm talking about little, you know, Curry-esque little chump. So, I don't know, man. We'll see what happens. But this NBA season is a hell of a lot more exciting than I thought it would be, man. So, maybe I'll get more NBA talk. And then last thing on the Final Four, college football, and also the transfer portal, right? I got guys kind of clowning me about Bama losing players. Bama lost like 19 last year, man. And don't sleep on the fact that these coaches, you may want to look somewhere else. This isn't all player-driven. It benefits the players. Yes, it definitely can. But this isn't just player-driven. And the receiver the linebacker that left Indiana? He was a freshman. I forget his name. Put in the transfer portal. Is he still leaving? Jonathan, I forget his name. He was the freshman. He was the top recruit in the last 15 years that went to Indiana.
Hold on. I lost the conversation. What'd you say?
The recruit from Indiana, top last 15 years, top recruit, the linebacker, is he still in the portal?
I think he is, man. He's not coming back, dude.
McFadden?
Well, I'm going to tell you, these guys are negotiating deals, man. Like I told you, NIL is killing it in a good way, I'm saying. Because what's happening, he's going to go to another Power 5 school, and it wouldn't surprise me if it's a Michigan, Ohio State, LSU, Alabama, Oregon, or SC. Because I'm telling you, the guy can play. And these guys are out there recruiting, man. They're recruiting, and I tell you, I think that the players have some power, but don't sleep on the coaches saying you need to look elsewhere because you're not playing next year.
Dekai, you were talking about Deshaun McCullough?
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, that's him.
He did. He stayed in the portal.
Yeah, well, you follow what I'm saying? And this is a guy that was going to be a difference maker for that team, and he looked around and said, you know, nah, I'm going to get something else somewhere else. And again, I know a lot of people don't like it, man, but I like it. The rabbit has the gun, and I love the fact that these players can go kind of as they choose. My only downfall of that is all of them don't get the best advice. There's over 2,600 players in the portal right now, and only about 1,100 of them are going to get jobs. And I'll say jobs because that's what it is now.
Let me ask you this, Decott. What's your thoughts on Deion?
Oh, man, you know, I'm not mad that he left Jackson State. I'm disappointed because I know how Mississippi is down there, and I know that state and that city needed Deion more than the Colorado Buffaloes do, right? Man, I'm telling you, my family down there was so disappointed. He was bringing money down to Jackson, Mississippi. If you know that area, man, Mississippi's the poorest state in the union and the least educated. And this man came down there and made a difference in 3 years. However, if he could have stayed, he could have left a lasting legacy for generations to come. Because you go to Mississippi, there's a whole lot of four-lane highways with nothing but trees and brush. They were starting to build up, gas stations, little strip malls and that type of deal, man, because of his impact. So that's why I'm disappointed. I'm not mad at him. And I have a tie-in because most of my family's in Mississippi. And it does, and it bothers me because I know what he was doing from an impact, not to the school, but to the state of Mississippi, man. That's my take on it, man. And it hurt him, man. But I hope him the best. I think he's making a difference in college football. I don't like him being public about telling guys to go through the portal. I don't like that. he could have done that privately. He didn't have to do that publicly.
Right.
He could have done that privately, right? Because you know what happens? Karma's a bitch, man. Karma will come back and bite you in the ass. So you just got to be careful with that. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Deshaun McCullough, actually 2 days ago, he did announce he transferred to Oklahoma. So he's playing for the Sooners.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. So, unfortunately for Indiana, that hurts. But they have an opportunity now. They can go into the portal and do what Michigan State did a few years ago. You know, there's a big donor at in Bloomington. I think I read an article.
Deacott, it's more important for the Indiana University to have a basketball team than it is to have a football team.
Oh, you're 100% right.
I don't know.
No, you're 100% right.
I give a little more hope with Purdue because they want to keep. I think with that hire, the guy they want to build with, I think they feel like they can build with him. He's a young guy, you know what I'm saying? But like he's gonna have to. He need to hit the ground running. And I get the power campaign. That's very important to these to the youth right now. But yeah, you know, he's got to hit the ground running. But like man, as far as I'm concerned, it's more important that they have a you know what I'm saying basketball team than a.
Okay, fair enough. I'll leave you with this, right? You remember a couple years ago, Brandon, you kind of laughed at me when I was excited about Mike coming home. He's doing exactly what I said. He's bringing integrity. Guys are going to play hard, no disrespect, and he's also starting to turn the corner. I'm telling you, I know he doesn't have 20 years to coach left, but, man, he has set a platform for whoever comes behind him. If they don't screw it up, Indiana can be back to the Indiana of the early 80s, mid 80s, if they do it right, in my opinion.
Oh, my goodness.
And I know I'm a Hoosier guy, man, but you got to call it like it is, man. I'm not going to be, you know, negatively biased, but, hey, he put him in a good spot, man. We got to keep the train rolling.
You're asking me dumb questions, guys. Really dumb questions. Jesus.
We'll see what happens. Hey, but I got to go, y'all. I'm going to keep on listening. I got to see a man about a dog, and I'll talk to you guys about being a pescatarian next time.
All right. See you, Deacon.
All right, bro. Thanks for calling in, man.
Oh. He needs to pump the brakes a little bit there on the Hoosiers basketball team. North Carolina is not the North Carolina who played who IU thought they were playing. I mean, let's back it down. Yeah, that's back it down. A couple last things I have on college basketball, then we'll hit up a few things college football real quick. John, I don't know if you've heard of Grinnell College. They set a record. NBCAA record, National College Basketball Association, Athletic Association record, 111 three-pointers in a single game.
Wow.
Every shot was a three-pointer. Now, every shot. They won 124-67 over Emmanuel Bible College. They shot 40 of 111 from three. This is also the same college that in 2012, a guy named Jack Taylor set the NCAA record with 138 points in a single game, and he's also had 109 points in a game. This Grinnell College, man, their coach has a unique offensive system based on Paul Westhead at Loyola in the 80s, predicated on quick shot, prioritizing the three-pointer, constant full-court pressure, and crashing the glass. 111 three-pointers attempted. Oof.
I would imagine that you got to be in real good shape to play for that team.
You
know what I'm saying?
I would think
that,
so. John, I sent you a message and said, is Texas back? Man, Chris Beard, arrested domestic assault, suspended by Texas. They were top five in the country.
Man, went from sugar to crap real fast,
it.
Man.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it ain't even. I don't know, man. Like, a lot of stress comes with these. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about what happened in transgression, but like you read the details of it, and they are kind of a little gruesome, man. So Chris Beard, hey, going through it, man. But yeah, you know, some things are hopefully get some help. Hopefully that person that he, you know, saying that family member, right, wasn't harmed, anything like that, man. And hopefully, like, you know what I'm saying, this is definitely, he can rebound from it. But, like, man, right now, he's kind of, you know, get out of the public eye.
Come on, Tyler. Sorry, Tyler Ford just called a foul on Buddy Hield for Steph Curry, but come on, Tyler, friend of the program. Come on, man, that wasn't a foul. Tyler, come on, man. Come on, man. Real quick, NBA, last thing I have NBA. The NBA renamed a bunch of trophies. The MVP award now is the Michael Jordan Trophy, Hakeem Olajuwon Trophy is the Defensive Player of the Year, Wilt Chamberlain's Rookie of the Year, John Havlicek, Sixth Man, and George Mikan, Most Improved. I don't have a problem. Just I think they're all willing and deserving. I just don't want a participation trophy start going out for all these dumb other awards. That's my only beef.
Right. Right. I got no problem with it, man. I actually kind of like the design of the Michael Jordan Trophy. The pride that Hakeem Olajuwon, he recorded a little video when he was explaining to everybody about them renaming the Defensive Player of the Year trophy after him, man, dude. And the pride that he said he took in plenty, dude. It'll send chills down your spine. I'm telling you, everybody, go to the Houston Rockets, whatever their Twitter handle, their Instagram handle, whatever. There's a video that they have right now about, and they show a video package like Olajuwon, and you see why they renamed the reward after him, dude. He arguably might be the greatest defensive basketball player we've ever seen. And that includes Bill Russell. And he might be better than him. He might be better than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I know, but like, this is an honor for those kind of players to get like this, man. I just hope that the next generation of basketball players understands that if they win that, like, that's an incredible honor that you have right there. You know what I'm saying? So, no, I mean, I love it.
Yeah, I agree. Real quick, we got to take another call. Real quick, Mike Kelly, what's going on?
Not much, fellas. What's going on? I just wanted to say my piece on the trophies. I'm Brandon. I'm with you as far as the goofy little trophies. The only thing that I'll say is I like that they, because of with the way the climate of the NBA is, you know, the evolution of the 3-point shot. You know, I think that if they name these players after Olajuwon, after Hondo, after, you know what I mean, Mike, and I think that they're still like, hey, these guys were proficient at these positions, the Dream at this position. So hopefully that if they do that, then people, because, man, come on. I mean, the defense aspect of it is gone. I mean, I get that the league is moving in a different direction, but there is such a thing as fundamentals.
That's what I'm trying to say, Mike. If you win Defensive Player of the Year, it ain't just because Miles Turner leads the Pacers in blocks. And I'm not trying to say Miles Turner. You're going to have to be, like, smothered. Like, you, on your team, you was in deep. You was
Gary
rebounding.
Payton.
On your team, you was stealing the ball. On your team, you know what I'm saying? You might be the guy that they put on the best player. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the ball game. Whatever, man. And that's I think I just kind of explained the Hakeem Olajuwon, did I not? You know, and he had to play offense. And he had to play offense, man. So whoever wins that award, I'm saying, Mike, Randy, whoever wins this award going further, man, this is going for, hey, dude, okay, that's who y'all say? Oh, Michael Jordan, MVP? Really? I jokingly said, hey, man, LeBron got to win one of these now. He doesn't. But, like, you know, it's just a joke. The validating is clear.
Well,
that kind of stuff.
Ideally, them naming this, I mean, riddle me this. Them naming the trophies after different people, what's the difference between that than us as fans and you guys in the media comparing to one another? What's the difference?
Right.
I mean, realistically, you know what I'm saying? You compare these people to different eras. So, hell, why don't you put your name on it? You know what I mean? I don't think it's no difference. It's 6-1 way and half a dozen the other.
They're not playing as good as defense as they did in Olajuwon era. I watched this basketball night after night. I want them. They got to find a happy medium with that, Mike. They like the NBA and the TV people. You see my big pause. They like high scoring because it gets.
You know
them
what?
Ready.
This will mess around and be like pre. Well. When Larry Bird and Magic came, I can remember watching NBA on Sundays, and it was two games. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they were high scoring games like crazy, 130, 125. It was goofy crazy then. But I'm going to tell you, this is my opinion. The reason why the game has done what it's doing now is because the players aren't staying in college. That's it. Because,
okay, I
but I understand why they don't.
Right.
Because if they don't stick around, I mean, I'm gonna put it to you like this, and I say this, I seem like I have this conversation with somebody all the time. There's a reason why you have a LeBron James in the league right now. LeBron has a high basketball. I have said this even when the three of us worked together. LeBron
right.
has a very high basketball IQ. Why?
Right.
What am I? What? You know what, Mike Kelly? What are you saying? What I'm saying is, when you got guys that aren't, they ain't sticking around long enough to they trying to get the bag, as the youngsters say. So they don't care.
Right.
They want to do just the, they want to do on the surface. They're not trying to put in the work that LeBron
right.
has done. So he has a higher basketball. You're always going to be over other guys because they're
mm-hmm.
not sticking around. But
mm-hmm.
on the caveat, LeBron didn't even go to college. So how do you come up with that? It's just everybody's talented, man.
Mike, the narrative is going to kind of change with him when they start comparing him against the greats, because he's going to be able to throw in the fact that he was able to play and sustain a high level of individual basketball for so long. Where I get it, he doesn't have the championships Michael Jordan has. He doesn't have the, you know what I'm saying, maybe playoff wins that, you know what I'm saying, whatever. But he's going to have all the daggone points. He's going to be top five in assists. And he's going to be a basketball player that then played 22 years, something crazy, man. So
exactly.
He's
Hell,
have
if I
that.
Play 20, if I play 20 years, I'm gonna do a whole lot of shit that somebody that did that only played 15 didn't do. Hell, I'm playing long.
Well,
that's that matter.
Well,
hell.
Well, what's in the A? Hey, Vince Carter stayed around too.
Guys,
so
let me ask you this.
Like,
and Al Harrington and Jermaine O'Neal. I get it.
Yeah.
Let me ask
but
you this.
They're not top tier.
So they're naming all these trophies after certain people. They've named the All-Star Game MVP now, the Kobe Bryant one. What's left that they're going to sit there and honor the legacy of LeBron James?
Ah, wow.
Shit, the fucking flop award? Shit.
Yo!
You can't give LeBron the flop award without giving it
Stop
to Bobby
it.
D-Bart.
Mike Kelly, you know they deserve
it.
They need
me.
To. He has changed the game. He has done something that no other players have doing in this league.
Who is the humanitarian?
They have to honor his legacy.
They will. They'll honor him when he's done, just like the rest of those guys.
He's about to pass
the
honor
somebody. I mean, they're giving him his flowers now, okay? That's the thing now. Everybody want. I get that you want to, but come on, dude. You can't. Even he has said that himself.
All right.
I'm sorry. I can't. Just let him
maybe we'll agree
first.
Upon this. Maybe the three of us will agree upon this. They're naming all these awards after these people for their legacies. Maybe for LeBron James, they'll name it like the LeBron James Executive of the Year Award that they give it to the GM, right?
Yeah, after he get it. Yeah, I can get that. I'm not saying, but here, let me say this. Let me say this.
Yeah, where did this is?
Because I like LeBron as a whole. I like it.
Right.
It's just that I have to look at the game now. I'm a fan, so I have to be subjective to this, because this isn't what I grew up on. Like them old commercials, this isn't your father's Oldsmobile or whatever they used to say. I look at it, so I pick things I like about his game. But LeBron came
right.
into the league. I will say this. They thrust him into something. He's the new Oscar Robertson. His size, he could play a couple of different sports. But he's a passer first. So they wanted him to be like Jordan. And why they skip over Kobe when they compare him, I've never understand that. I don't understand that. Hell, him and Jordan are two different positions. They were called on for two different roles.
Because they're athletic is all get up. That's why. You know.
But Kobe wasn't athletic?
Hey, Mike, before, because we kind of rush short time, I got to ask you what you think about two of your teams. I know that you kind of track, man, Boston. And the Cincinnati Bengals, because I talked about the Bengals before you had came on.
So I'll go with the Bengals first, because I shot in on the post. I told Brandon, say it with your chest when you said they won seven games in a row. Say it with your chest. So the thing about the Bengals, I remember we said this early, when they didn't work in that work when they goof with the offensive line schemes as far as playing them. Mm-hmm. Remember what I was saying, that those games are going to come back to haunt them? The only good thing that I'll say is who they'll get in the first round. You know what I'm saying? They'll get somebody. I just – because everybody's – the only – I mean, honestly, dude, in the AFC, I'm with Brandon. Buffalo is Miami isn't what we thought they were. You know, right. But I already said, once they – these road games, that's going to tell it all right there. All these next – I said that a couple weeks ago. Mahomes, I mean, he's – I mean, but he still does – that thing that he does is the thing that he does. You can say the same thing when they win, and you can say the same thing when they lose.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That thing that you do, it's caused you to win games. But then when you lose game, well, it's that thing that you do.
He is doing good,
and he doesn't have Cheetah, and he's still spreading that baller. I think that's gonna be the thing in the playoffs, because that's how you beat him. Ask us, ask Bengals.
Right.
We know how to beat him.
Going
forward, I like what they're doing. I just wish they would have won them games, man. I would have felt better at going in.
Early on.
Yeah.
It might be something they learn how to master, but you know what I'm saying? If you get to the Super Bowl, you ain't gonna think about them games they lost earlier. You know what I'm saying?
The only good thing I'll say is everybody else is tweaking at the same time they are. So that might be a good thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When you having issues and stuff, everybody else is having. We can't name an AFC team that hasn't. They're not trying to figure something out. You know what I mean? Going into this. This is the business end now.
Right. Well, Mike Kelly, we are short of time.
Yep. Hey, absolutely.
Dude, thanks for calling in. Always, thanks for listening. And always, man, especially during this time, happy holidays. I'm glad I ain't sliding no TVs in nobody's car today. You know what I'm saying? This time around the year.
That's funny.
I hear you.
Yep.
Thanks, Mike.
I wanted to say one quick thing. Yep. Tatum needs to be more aggressive. That's all I'm gonna say.
Oh wow, more.
He's the reason why they lost Saturday and Monday. And he's the reason why they won the other day. So that's all I'm gonna say on that.
Okay. I thought you were gonna say we need to go to Lake Show.
Oh shit.
All right, Mike.
All right, guys, be easy.
All right, that's our guy Mike Kelly. I got him tongue tied there. I thought he was going to tell me Tatum needs to go to the Lakers. Come on now. John, college football real quick, a three-pack. Caleb Williams wins Heisman. We kind of predicted that that's the way it was going to go. Can't say he wouldn't deserve it. So he wins the Heisman. Jeff Brohm left Purdue, went to Louisville. Writing was on the wall that it was going to happen. Purdue hired Ryan Walters. Kind of a head-scratcher at first, you know. Strong defensive coordinator from Illinois, got him into the top 10 for defensive stats with Bielema's squad there at Illinois. I like the hire. Turning Purdue, it's weird going to be turning Purdue into a defensive squad. We'll see how it goes. The press conference went well today. I'm going to give him a chance, see how he does, see what he can turn. It's not a rebuild, but it's kind of building onto the legacy of what Purdue has done with the cradle of quarterbacks. So we'll see. I'm excited with that. What was your thoughts real quick? Young guy, Purdue getting Ryan Walters.
Yeah, like I told Decott earlier, man, I like the move. It's a young guy that they can grow with. That's the biggest part for me, man. Like, you know, guys, recruits are looking at him and like, man, they can kind of see themselves and they can relate to him more so than, you know, somebody. Again, Purdue, y'all wasn't getting over my anyway. You know what I'm saying? So, but they can relate to somebody a little bit, you know what I'm saying, a younger variety and, you know what I'm saying, who's already at Purdue, from Purdue's standpoint, man, he's already navigated NIL and understanding, like, man, what it takes to get certain players to come to a team like Purdue, man. So you have to like that. You raise your eyebrow because I think everybody was looking for another
big splash
thing. Did you want somebody – from a Mac, did you want another Mac candidate to come over? Did you want somebody from, you know, one of the smaller, quote unquote, division FBS conferences to come over? Like, man, no, man, because they'll be using this as a stepping stone. They won't be here. You know what I mean? They'll be,
you know, going to another team. So at least with this, at least with this gentleman, you know what I'm saying, you give him, you see what you still have left over after the transfer portal and all that kind of shakes out. And like I said, after next year, hopefully they get some guys to turn, you know what I'm saying, and stay. But after that, next year, you know, next year will be rough. But after that, it should be no excuses, man. It should be, this is the guy. This is his team. Let's go.
Yep. And last thing I have, John, sad news from the weekend, and it's confirmed on Monday. Mike Leach, head coach, Mississippi State, former Texas Tech coach, former Washington State coach, big college football personality, larger than life personality, had some great comments, tragically passed away at the age of 61 from a heart attack. In a University of Mississippi hospital. Just tough news in college football. I just watched him a couple weeks ago in the Egg Bowl against Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, but just very, very, very tough loss for everybody.
Yeah, he's supposed to speak better of the dead when they're gone, man. But let's just be honest, man. There's some electric quotes out there about this particular guy, as the, you know what I'm saying, as one of his players who just left because he, you know what I'm saying,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying, coach always questions people's toughness, man, and that's kind of what he's from, that hard nosed football era, you know what I'm saying, he's that, you know what I mean, that, yes, it's some things he said, you know what I'm saying, got him in trouble, but went over the line, you know what I'm saying, if you dig up, you start digging through some of his files or whatever, but he seemingly always stayed with a job, so. I don't know. Sometimes when I see that, man, like, everybody, you know, I do bigoted people, because that's kind of what came up with his name too, Brandon. And again, I didn't want to forget of it, but like, do bigoted people keep on getting chance after chance after chance? Yeah, they do. But like, man, dude, we're talking about, he had a lot of chances at different universities, man, and it kind of worked out for him. So again, man, never speak ill of the dead, man. Like you said, definitely going to be missed. If not in this regard, man, he definitely do somebody. I always want his team to lose, man, because he's, you know, you kind of look at him as a sports villain, kind of like a Bill Laimbeer type, as you know, on the sideline, man. But like, no,
right.
So in that regard, it won't be the same with seeing him not on the sideline next season.
Yep. Only thing I have left, John. Join us tomorrow night. Same thing.
Uh-oh.
Facebook Live. StreamYard, also here on Blog Talk. We'll have our College Bowl Week 1 pick show. We couldn't do it tonight. There's no way. Only 15 minutes left of the two-hour show, and we got 13
right.
games to go through. So tomorrow will be strictly bowl games, our picks. Pick 'em. Join us tomorrow, 7 o'clock, 7 to 8 o'clock. We'll be doing our pick 'em show. We'll see you guys then. John, I'll let you say your finish and wrap us, my man.
Hey, man, I had a great weekend hanging out with the White River Wrestling crew. Got to finally meet up with some of the folks that we had, me and Brandon had interviewed this past season. Crossroads Sports, I caught up with the veteran Jack Vaughn. I caught up with Jake Ohman, man. And if you are ever in the Indianapolis market area and White River Wrestling is putting on a show, man, do yourself a favor and go in there. It is like really – it's really like a different feel, man. I don't know. They don't necessarily have cameras around there. They got, you know, their own little setups, right? But they don't necessarily have a YouTube channel or anything like that, man. But they do have like an Instagram following. You know, so it's pretty cool. White River Wrestling, man. But like I said, I caught up with, you know, saying the veteran Brandon. He's too famous. Brandon was teasing everybody. Brandon was teasing with the veteran on Twitter about him putting me in a headlock or a body slam or something, man. Like, dude, Brandon, when next time when they come through. You're going, right?
I was available this time. I just never got the call.
I know. I didn't know, dude. I thought you had plans, man. I do. The veteran is too famous. Folks, go check him out. The veteran Jack Vaughn on TikTok. This dude is hilarious, man. If you're into wrestling, you know what I'm saying, check him out. But, like, yeah, caught up with those guys, man. And then another one of our good wrestling homies, man, that come on to our show, Danny Limelight. He won the United Wrestling Network Heavyweight Champion. He's, you know what I'm saying, he's the champ, man. Danny Limelight, it's a lot of fanfare around that. He's actually his next title defense. Like, he beat Jordan Clearwater, right? I know everybody's like, who's Danny Limelight? Danny Limelight came on our show. He's been on AEW, blah, 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 blah. He's won a heavyweight championship. His first title defense, Brandon, is against Eddie Kingston. I'm going to try to get – I know the holiday show is next week, Brandon. I'm going to try to get Danny Limelight to come on to the show next week, man, to chop it up with us real quick, man, just to let us know, you know what I'm saying, how it is to be world champ and, you know what I'm saying, what it's going to be like to play Eddie Kingston. But other than that, man, like, I want to say thank you to Mike Kelly for calling in. I want to say thank you to D. Cop for calling in. Those are the friends of the program. I want to say thank you to, Good Mavericks Custom Motorsport. Scott Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Wise Logistics, man. How can we do our show without our sponsors, man? Everybody, man. It's the holiday season, man. If you ain't got, like I said, if you ain't got your Christmas tree up right now, man, shame on you, man. Get it up, man. But get that holiday season pumping. Get you some eggnog. Get you some hot cocoa. And like, man, you got like what 11 days more days of Christmas, man. Brandon, we're gonna have the holiday show next week. I mean, we got the bowl show tomorrow. I can't wait. You know what I'm saying? For either, man, it's going to be a crazy 24 hours, man, doing another show tomorrow, man. So outside of that, man, I have been Jonathan Burson. That's Brandon Weeks, man. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.